Good morning, sir. Any of you have commented on a squab I read this morning? So I was just happy. It's a privilege and honor, and it's been a privilege and honor to stand before you for 7 months, really 8. And I will miss the opportunity, but I am excited for you. Matthew, his family, just years of significance. It's been a long journey. Glad for you to have the opportunity to be praying for you. If you need a time, Matthew, I found that all you have to do is come in that day on his and he gives it to you. So, that's right, I'm really good. I've tried that with the shoes, so I think I don't know that you do the same size. This is not fair. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll launch it. Speak, Lord, serve to listen. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to the Lord. Our rock and our redeemer. So we've had a series of, this is now the third in a series, preparing for the Miller's arrival, now that Matthew's here. You can tell me whether I'm right or not. But this third series I want to do is entitled Profile of the Minister. Or what I think a minister ought to be. And this is going to be said in general terms. Matthew has got a great plan that he's detailed out about how he's going to go about his work in the first 30, 60, 90 days. So what I'm going to say this morning is really an effort to orient the congregation toward both our responsibilities to, but what we should expect of any ministry. And what has been said thus far about how to welcome the minister and the responsibilities to a minister, also, let me just say, we should think about it not only in terms of Matthew, but in terms of Chris. Now, Chris has been here a little bit more than a year, right? But this also, I would encourage you, the congregation, to think about it, not just for Matthew's sake, but also for Chris's sake. A few weeks ago, I talked about welcoming the new minister, and it seems like you guys have already done a fabulous job of helping move in and prepare him, but I just want to remind you real quickly what we said 2 weeks ago. Stallings, Zaleski, flip to the next slide here about welcoming a new minister. Yeah, I gave you 5 key phrases to say, and Matthew, this is something you want to take note of. If you don't do these phrases, well, you have to come back and park in a visitor's parking lot and come in here and preach. Good afternoon, you guys. My name is, keep reminding Matthew of your name and your connections. I know he will appreciate that. Matthew and his family. But I'm praying for you. Praying for you and praying for us. Pray for the church. And tell Chris. Chris, the same thing. Chris, we're praying for you. We're praying for the youth group. Come eat with me. Not just on Sunday, but during the week. Come eat with me and see how I live my life. And particularly for Matthew, what's the word for us? What's the word for us this Sunday, next Sunday? But as you have witnessed my life, what word do you have for me about where I am and to listen to that, discerning me, and finally come live among us? And we'll be watching, not in the sense of we'll be watching so that we can shake our finger at you, but we'll be watching in the sense of we want to see what it looks like. You need to help us understand what it looks like to be a minister of the gospel. so that we can actually use what we can understand. And I pull from Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, welcome him in the Lord with all joy. And I sense this is a Jerusalem. It is a faith. It is. David came last week, and I wasn't here, but I understood that David talked about the six responsibilities that a congregation has to a new ministry. And again, this is not just to a new minister, but also to a ministry that's been here a while, Chris. Give Matthew a fresh start. Be reasonable in your expectations of him. Love, encourage him, be patient. Support he and his family, and join him in the work. This is all a part of welcoming him with all joy. And the next line in that verse in Philippians 2 is honor. Paul says, honor people like him. This is how, church, you show honor to a man or men in the position of leadership. These things, how you honor them. Today, I want to talk briefly about what David brought up for last, number 6. Join him in the work. Kellen did a great job of reading the scripture. Thank you, Kellen. Comes from Philippians 2. Philippians 2, but before 2:28, Paul tells them, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. What does it mean to continue to work out your salvation? Paul is addressing the Philippian church, and he tells them, work out your salvation. Now, do we work for our salvation? No. Salvation's a gift. It's a gift that we've been given. But in terms of what salvation looks like in our lives, in our individual life, in our life as a congregation, well, that's something that Paul says we have to work out. We have to figure it out. We've got to stretch. We've got to try. We've got to figure things out as a community and as individuals. And let me submit to you that this is the minister's work, to work out his salvation. But it is in part a work that is also your work, the church's work. A minister's work flows out of identity and calling. But here's the kicker, sir. It's no different with you. It's no different with you. Your identity and your calling fundamentally the same. That we together as a church and as individuals work out our salvation. We work out of our identity into the calling. We, this past 7 months, went through the Gospel of Mark each week. And the Gospel of Mark has something to say about the Christian's identity and the Christian's calling. And let me give you two pictures of this where it happens in Mark. We have an identity that is rooted in baptism. Our baptismal identity. We've given out 5 Bibles here at the beginning of the service, right? That reminds, are supposed to be symbols that remind those that receive them of their baptismal identity. Dan said, you know, we're going to lay those baptisms, we're going to lay the Bibles out there, the foyer, that you can sign. I always have a hard time knowing what to say. I mean, think about, what is baptism? It's a death. It's you raising your hand saying, I can't do it. I'm dying. I want you to take over, Jesus. What do you write? Congratulations on your death. Way to go for dying. See why that's kind of odd? See, baptism is not something as much that you do as it's something that's done to you. I mean, think about the mode of baptism. Isn't this awkward kind of lean back, hold your nose, you know? No one does that. You can't do that by yourself. It's got to be done to you, right? I'm not saying that you should have done it like this and forward, but you baptism is invalid. I'm saying there's something about that image. Baptism is something that you're telling us just to show up and die. And in Mark chapter 1, Jesus is baptized. And you remember when he's baptized, remember what God said to Jesus at that moment? You are my son, my beloved. I preached on that passage in the Word. I said, don't forget this, your beloved. That's your identity. That's your baptismal identity. You are the beloved of God. But along with that identity comes a calling. Calling because God baptizes us, but he doesn't leave us there. He calls us into a life of cross-shaped living, a life of discipleship. And he tells Peter and his disciples this. He's really popular there in Mark chapter 8. People were following him, and he turned and he looked at the crowds and he says, hey, you want to know what it means to follow me? Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Follow me. Well, that image, that was a very graphic image in Jesus' day, because you knew if you saw someone carrying a cross in Jesus' day where they were going to die. And that's the call. To die in baptism, but to die again and again. To die to our allegiance, to die to my want, to die to my desires, because here's the secret. We believe that God has our best desires at heart. And we trust Him to fulfill what He wants. And in fulfilling that for us, we believe that He wants. Identity and calling. That's what the minister is tasked to work out, but that's what you are tasked to work out. That's what our life is about. And the way we work these out are in six arenas that I've listed up here, Wes, if you can put more time. These six arenas work out. You become, what does it mean to be have a baptismal identity and a calling to discipleship as worshipers, as witnesses, as neighbors, as reconcilers, as prophets, as stewards. And I could spend six sermons talking about those various aspects. I'm making the point that our identity and our calling is worked out in these arenas. And that, in fact, all of us have responsibilities to be good, to be baptized disciples worshipers, to be baptized disciples witnesses, to be baptized disciples neighbor, so on and so forth. Now, what is the particular responsibility of the ministry? Well, before we talk about that, I just want to again emphasize the point that Matthew is calling to ministry. There's no difference fundamentally in living out his baptism and his call to discipleship. But life that Matthew leads, the life of the minister that this is leading, it's worked out a little differently because of the context to which he is called. And what is that context? It's the context of the congregation, of the assembled baptized disciples. That is the work to which we, as a congregation, have called and commissioned Matthew and Chris to work out, to help us work out in the context of the gathered believers the work of salvation. But hear this. Ministry, whether it's Chris or Matthew or any other ministry that we're talking about, is not a higher calling, and it's not a holier calling than any other of yours. You also, church, are baptized. You also, church, are called to work out your salvation in whatever area of life, as a school teacher, as a retired person, as a grandmother, as a painter, as a orthodontist, as a lawyer, as a fill-in-the-blank. Your job is to help this community imagine what does it look like to be Jesus as a believer. That's our calling. That's our identity. Matthew, Chris's responsibility to us, is to say, what does it look like to be Jesus as one who is called and commissioned to lead a community of believers? That's the specific calling that Matthew and Chris have, is to work out their salvation, to work out their baptismal discipleship calling in the context of a community of believers. To lead this congregation in the life of discipleship for the sake of God's mission in the world. They're here to lead. Ministers don't replace disciples. Did you hear what I said? Ministers do not replace disciples. What ministers do is catalyze disciples. That's what Chris, that's what Matthew are here to do. Catalyze your community and your calling to help you, to help this church be a baptized disciple community for God's sake, for God's glory. That's all I wanted to say. We honor men like that, but be careful not to put them on a pedestal. Because if we put them on a pedestal, we somehow separate their identity and their calling, and we say, no, it's fundamentally different from mine. Fundamentally different from you. And I would say, no, it's not. We're all called to work out our salvation. Their calling is to help lead us work out ourselves. Join him in the work. But I want to say it's more like a dance. Now, I know I'm on fragile territory talking to the church crowds about dancing. And I will refrain from actually doing some dancing. Because I'm wearing a suit. You know, I've been wearing the polo rug in my bedroom. In college, I was with a group who were overseas for a semester, and there was one particular woman. She's a little older than I am, student. We were struggling with her, and I can remember this one conversation in which she told the group of us, "She's really been struggling with that." She said, "We've got to get a solution." And she was down in the courtyard somewhere and was watching children play, and they began dancing and circle doing the things. She said that this one very old man got up and started dancing and joined them always the love, the silence. This is what this is my soul. It has to be about what makes sense. Joy and beauty of not only racing, but children. Learning to live with them. Being able to walk, to work out in salvation. I could be one thing. Now, will toes kind of get stepped on? Will there be some starts, some misses?
Sure.
Will there be some mistakes made? It's not easy. But a dance. A dance where you learn to figure each other out. And your bodies then begin to move in motion. The result being that people would have to say, there's to be a hope. There's to be a true joy. Welcome them in the Lord with all joy. And honor to your God. Chris. Join him to continue to work out your salvation to see the answer, to see the answer, yes, God, you will serve him. Be willing to act according to your scriptures. If you would like to respond to that God's do it now, you can do it afterwards. You just need to do it. If you would like to come die in the waters of baptism, many of us, most of us have been here. We'll support you in that. We'll support you in the call to live the disciple's life. Why don't you join us together this morning?